as anything I know. Last few weeks, God has had us begin a series of messages entitled At His Feet. And I feel like the Lord would have us go back one more time to His feet. So if you have your Bibles, the book of John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. I want to read the first nine verses. The first nine verses of John chapter 12. We had mentioned earlier that it is double the tithe Sunday. Somebody's already asked me, said, Preacher Darren, is it double sermon Sunday? Because if it is. And it is. I'll be preaching tonight, Lord willing. Amen. If the Lord leads. John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 12, stand to your feet with us this morning. John chapter 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not only for they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, if correctly read. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Loving Jesus at his feet. Loving Jesus at his feet. Father, would you help us now to preach the word of God in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Father, this morning physically, Lord, I'm unable. Spiritually, I'm a weakling. But God, if you would help us this morning, Lord, we might receive help today. Lord, would you be pleased to open heaven just for a little while and let us today, Father, see Jesus. For this I pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, there are many that are intrigued by the works of Jesus. He's a miracle worker. He's turning water into wine. He's casting out lepers. He's curing those that are blind, those that are deaf. He's curing sick people. Nobody could perform the miracles that Jesus did, but they were intrigued by his works. Some were interested in his words. Nobody could speak like Jesus spoke. Nobody could talk like Jesus talked. Nobody could teach like Jesus taught. Nobody could preach like Jesus. He took heavenly truths and put them in the earthly words. Amen. Others were inspired by his ways. I mean, works of compassion, works to fulfill needs and satisfy souls. And others could try to imitate the compassion of Christ, but nobody, come on y'all, nobody could do for us what Jesus can do. There were people intrigued by his works, interested in his words. They were inspired by his ways, but few were intensified to worship. Worship is not based on what he's done for you. Worship is based on who he is. Who is he this morning? He's God. Who is he this morning? He's the great I am. Who is he this morning? He is my Savior, the lover of my soul, and the forgiver of my sins this morning. Amen. Now, to Mary, Jesus was her all in all. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to Mary. And may I take time out and say, he's the best thing ever happened to me too. When I look in the scriptures, I want to say three things and we'll be done. Number one, I see love that is deserved. Love that is deserved. You may say, a preacher, there, nobody deserves love. Come here, I want to tell you something. Jesus does. Jesus deserves our love. There was a little girl one time, she had two of her little baby dolls in her arms. And as she had the two baby dolls in her arms, she carried them up to her mommy. And she said, Mommy, she said, I love my dolls, but they never love me back. When I think of that little girl carrying those dolls, I wonder if Jesus feels that way. That he loves his people, but many times we do not love him back. Jesus loves us with an everlasting love, but do we love him in return? How little do we tell him? Just to take a trip to the altar, just say, God, I'm not asking for nothing. I just want to tell you that I love you and Jesus. Do you tell him that you need him? Do you tell him that you want him? Amen. I like the old songwriter William Featherston wrote, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Amen. Now the Bible says, we're talking about love deserved in verse 1, that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus is on his way to the cross. And on his way to the cross, many things on his mind, many things on his heart. And as he's on his way, he stops by the city, the village of Bethany, to visit these that he loved. Think about it with me. The name Bethany means house of misery. One day Jesus passed by my way and he found me living in the house of misery. And he was not ashamed of where I was. He loved me where I was and he loved me out of where I was and moved me away from that place. Thank God for it, amen. Jesus has shown this family that he loves them. I can look in John 11, turn with me at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved them. And I want to say this to you today. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And the Bible says back in chapter 12 that they made Jesus a supper. Martha is serving, Lazarus is sitting, and Mary is submitting. Amen. Jesus stopped by because he loved them. That's why he's here with us today. Jesus stopped by because he cares for them. That's why he's with us today. Jesus stopped by because he knows what they're going through. And that's why he's passed by here today. Amen. Now, John records that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are all present. And the Bible says Martha is serving a meal. May I say, just a subheading, that Jesus' love is personally revealed. Preacher dear, what do you mean? Mary, I need an amen right here. Mary loved the Lord because he first loved her. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. The Bible tells us that he loved us and he gave himself for us. He gave himself because he loves us. And because he loves us, we are to love him back. In 1934, Prince Edward, a magazine reports that he went to visit a hospital some years after World War I. And when he got there, he was at the hospital to see 36 patients, men who had ventured their life to defend their country and to advance liberty's cause. And Prince Edward wanted to go by and speak to each and every one. He went into that hospital of 36 patients, 36 heroes, if I could say it like that. He was able to visit 29 of them, speaking a word to them, shaking hands with them, and they started ushering Prince Edward to the door. And he said, wait a minute, are there not 36 patients here, housed here? I've checked the records. They said, yes. He said, I only saw 29. Where are the other seven? They said, oh, your majesty, we're trying to save your feelings. We're trying to save your viewpoint. These are men that are maimed. These are men that would hurt your feelings to see. Take me to them. It's why I'm here. They took him into that room. And he saw six other men that very day. And he prayed over them and spoke with them. And as they escorted him to the door, he said, wait a minute. I've only visited 35 of 36. Where is the 36th man? They said, sir, your majesty, your royal highness, we're trying to save your feelings. This is a man that's kept in isolation. He's a life that is blinded, deafened. He's a life that is maimed. He's a life that has got body parts that have been amputated. Sir, you do not want to see him. He's in terrible shape. He said, I insist that you take me to see this 36th man. And when they opened the door and led Prince Edward in, he was shocked at what he saw, so much so that he stopped in his very tracks. He ventured a few steps forward. He came to the bedside of that man. He saw him laying there. A horrid, horrible scene. Prince Edward did the unthinkable. He leaned down and personally, individually kissed that man reverently upon the cheek and said, thank you for your service to the country. When I think about that story, I think about His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He left the splendor of glory to come down here to the place of misery where I have been maimed, blinded to the truths of God, deafened, not able to hear, dead in trespass and sin. I was in a terrible shape, but Jesus did the unthinkable. He did more than just kiss me physically. He loved my sin sick soul in the horror and the ugliness of my sin. And He lifted me out of the rats and the ragged of sin. And He saved my soul. And He loved me. Therefore, I love Him back. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Now, I get to thinking about not only how that he has loved us personally, but I think about how He's got a life that's been personally restored. You remember the story. Lazarus was sick. They sent for Jesus. When Jesus heard, He waited 2 days where He was. And then He said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Thomas said, oh boy, here we go. Jesus took 2 more days to travel 2 miles. Something you could walk in 45 minutes. When Jesus got there, He was 4 days late. He went to the grave. He wept there. He said, take away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came out bound hand and foot. He was alive again. Jesus restored him. Don't you think that Mary was thankful that her brother was restored? It may be that today that you've lost mom or dad or brother or sister from this life. Man, I'd love to see my little brother. I'd love to wrap my arms around him. I'd love to see mom and dad be able to embrace him again. And the devil says, well, it's too late. Your brother's been taken from this earth. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day that Jesus is going, well, glory to God, that Jesus is going to restore us. I'm going to see mom hug my brother again. I'm going to see dad hug my brother again. I'm going to get to hug him. We're going to have a good loving time for all eternity. God's worked it out, amen. He has personally restored life into a family that had experienced death, amen. Jesus gives us new life. There was a magazine that had an airplane picture there, and underneath it says, for $2,900, we can get you your pilot license, and you'll become an airplane pilot. And what they were doing was they were trying to get people to become anew and take on a new venture in life, and said, for $2,900, we'll make you a pilot for $2,900. People wrote in from all over the country. I mean, it's writing in, $2,900, make me a pilot, oh good. But there was a lady in Kansas that gave them the weirdest response. She sent $2,900 and she said, make mine 6'3", dark-headed. What are y'all laughing at? Make him understand what we women are thinking about, amen? And after a 60-day trial, if he's doing good, I'll get another few of them pilots, amen. Let me tell you something, amen. That wasn't the purpose of the ad, but I just want to say this morning. Only Jesus can make a man new. Hallelujah. He deserves our love. Number two, I see love displayed. While they're serving him this supper, Lazarus is sitting at the table, Martha's working, serving around there. The Bible says in verse 3 that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and she anointed the feet of Jesus. Mary was grateful. She was thankful. Hey, I want to ask you a question today, Bethel. Has Jesus done anything for you? Has he saved your soul? Has he provided and met your needs? Has he answered your prayers? Has he healed your body? Has he restored your family? Has he sustained your marriage? Has he blessed you beyond measure? Has he put clothes on your back and a roof over your head? And all of this and heaven too? Are you on your way to heaven? Amen. I just want to say this morning, where's your pound of spikenard? Where's your thanks? Where's your worship? Where's your love? Your appreciation for what Jesus has done in your life? Jesus left the splendors of heaven, took upon himself a robe of flesh, became a man, lived a sinless life, walked up Calvary's hill, bore my sin and your sin on Calvary's cross, where he was spat upon, where he was beaten and bludgeoned and humiliated, and he gave up the ghost, and they took him and buried him and said, that's the end. Hey, but on the first day of the week, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's done something for us, amen, and has given us eternal life. Thank God for it, amen. Well, what have you done for him? Look at what he's done for you. You won't even take the time to bow at his feet. You won't even take the time to say, Lord, I want to thank you for all you've done. As Jesus reclined and sat at that meal, Mary took that alabaster box, maybe that flask, and she broke it open, and she poured all that perfume out on Jesus' feet. That spikenard was extravagant. It was expensive. It was elaborate. She used it all. When she broke it open, she said, oh, well, might as well use it all. She poured it all out on Jesus Christ. Now, Judas was there. Judas was the treasurer of the group. Judas knew the worth of things. The Bible says he was a thief. He carried the bag. The treasury. He was scraping off the top for himself all the time. He looked at this scene and he said, why was not this sold for 300 pence is what one of the gospel writers says in verse number 5. And why was it not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Preacher Darren, what's the value? Well, you tell me. A pence is a day's wage. So that's 300 days' wages. How much do you make in 300 days? She poured it all out on Jesus' feet. Other gospel writers would report that Judas says, this has been wasted. What about that? When you worship, does it cost you anything? I'm not talking about you giving a financial gift. I'm talking about you giving him your life, which is your reasonable service. I'm talking about you giving him praise. I'm talking about you giving him thanks. I'm talking about you serving him, amen. The Bible tells us that when she did this, look at verse 3, that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It was fragrant. The aroma, the fragrance filled the room. There's just something about worship. When people get to worshiping and they get focused on Jesus, you won't pay attention to anything other than Jesus. When we see Mary in Luke chapter 10, She's sitting at his feet listening to his word. When we see in Mary in John chapter 11, Mary's at his feet learning of his power. And now thirdly, we see Mary at his feet loving him, thanking him, worshiping him. She is there to serve the Lord. It is not only an unlimited love, but it is an uninhibited love. Preacher, what do you mean? Now, Mary is going to do this to show Jesus' worth to her. I mean, no doubt she saved this ointment for many years. Listen, when her brother died, what was her brother's name? Lazarus. When he died, and Jesus said, take away the stone, Mary said, Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh because he's been dead 4 days. Insinuating, Lord, where you been? And also insinuating, my sister Mary has a whole flask, a whole perfume bottle, a whole alabaster box full of spikenard that should have been used to anoint my brother's body, but she didn't use it. She held it, and I don't know what she's waiting on. Now he's a stinking because he ain't been anointed. That's what she's saying. And now she's taking that and anointing Jesus. She's not worshiping her family. She's not worshiping some preacher. She's not worshiping some church. She's worshiping Jesus Christ. And she's giving everything she has to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She worships him. And look what the Bible says in verse number 3. She wiped his feet with her hair. Now, some of y'all, I've heard this. Preacher, you've been preaching on at his feet, and feet kind of gross me out. Not his feet, honey. When we get to heaven, y'all going?
Yes,
eight people. Oh my, lots going to get saved today. Are y'all going to heaven?
Amen.
When we get there, I want you to look me up, and you'll find me at his feet. Look for me at Jesus' feet, amen. That's where I want to be. I just want to stay there a while, amen. Mary broke open that perfume, 300 days worth of expense and extravagance, and she pours it out on Jesus' feet. Don't you know she's weeping. And she begins to see, she lets down her hair. Listen, in Palestine, a woman would not let her hair down ever. She let her hair down and began to wipe his feet with the hair of her head. Preacher Darren, that grosses me out. Can I tell y'all something? For a woman, read the New Testament, her hair is her glory. She's laying her glory down at Jesus' feet. Church, you know what we need to do? We need to lay our glory down at Jesus' feet. Get over your pride. Become uninhibited. Thank you, Lord. When was the last time in a worship service you let your hair down? And you didn't care what somebody else thought about what you was doing. You just went to the altar and you praised him and you thanked him and you wept and you got out of your shoes and you had a holy dance. You stood back in the back of the sanctuary and you jumped up and you said, "Woo, glory, praise the Lord." But you don't do it because you're cumbered about. Something's binding you. Something's holding you back. You're like popcorn inside that hard kernel shell. But when that popcorn gets in the right atmosphere of a microwave and others start popping and praising God, something happens, and what's on the inside overcomes what's holding it on the outside. It becomes uninhibited and says, boom, pop for the glory of God. When was the last time that you popped for the glory of God? I hope next time you get microwave popcorn, you fall under conviction. Amen. She had uninhibited love. Hey, church, preacher, teacher, prayer warrior, piano player, instrumentalist, church member, when was the last time you let your hair down and just worship Jesus in the service. Amen. Everybody knew Mary had been at Jesus' feet. Does anybody know you've been there? Thirdly, and I'm done, I see love defended. The Bible says that when this woman, Mary, got at Jesus' feet and anointed his feet and let her hair down and wiped his feet with the hair of her head, that Judas, one of the hand-picked disciples, started criticizing her, started attacking her verbally, started trying to get others upset. I promise you this, if you really let your hair down and you start worshiping, somebody ain't gonna like it. Preacher, you shouldn't have said ain't. They ain't gonna like it. They're gonna get upset. I'm telling you, the devil and the flesh and our pride, they hate worship. But I'm telling you what, our churches need to just get back to the place where we just let God have his way and we just get unlimited and uninhibited in our love for him and our worship and let God have his way. They begin to attack her. They begin to criticize her. They begin to fault find. Come here, I want to tell you something. Isn't it funny how those who don't worship attack those who do? Why is Judas not worshiping? I feel like I need to climb the pulpit. I don't know why. But when I think about this, this guy hadn't given a thing. It's funny how those who don't give criticize what happens with those who do. Amen? Oh, I'm firing in the right hole now. Verse 7. What's this? Love defended. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Amen. For against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She believed when she sat at Jesus' feet, when he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm going to lay down my life for the sins of the people that they may be saved. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And she believed him. And she worshiped him. And she anointed him. And she was uninhibited in her love for him. Listen, honey, I'm telling you that Mary had a time and she didn't let Judas criticizing her stop her. And listen this, I don't even know that she heard him. But y'all look at me. I just believe when you get to worshiping Jesus and you're so focused on him, you don't even hear what other people got to say. You're just back focusing on worshiping Jesus. You don't give a rip, tater chip, about what they got to say. I don't think she even heard it. But Jesus did. And he said, you let her alone. The poor you have always, but me you have not always with you. I love to study the Bible. It's my favorite thing to do. I was doing a character study, son. Listen to this. I was doing a character study about Mary of Bethany. Did y'all know there was a lot of women that went to the cross? Jesus' mother, Mary, was at the foot of the cross. You remember? He said, woman, behold thy son. Not saying, look at me, but saying, look at John to be your son. And he said, behold thy mother. And John took her from that day and adopted Mary, the mother of Jesus, as his own mother. Mary was at the cross that day. Mary saw also an empty tomb. Mary Magdalene, she went there. Mary, the mother of James the Less, was there. But Mary of Bethany never went to the cross. Mary of Bethany never went to the empty tomb. Richard, why not? She didn't have to. She believed him when she sat at his feet and heard his word. Amen. And she said, that's good enough for me. Amen. I'm telling you, I may not be able to get at the foot of the cross. I may not be able to see the empty tomb. But honey, I've heard his word and I believe him and that's just good enough for me. There was a little woman. She was a little slave woman. And she's just a peasant. And she received a silver dollar for 50 years of work. And she went to the evangelistic crusade.
She'd gotten saved years before, and she went and she laid down the only silver dollar, the only amount of money, everything she had, she laid down on the altar that day. And somebody on the stage saw it, and they went to follow up with this woman. And they said, "Why have you stolen that silver dollar and pretended to give it to Jesus?" And she said, "Many years ago, after I first got saved," she said, "I wanted to do something for Jesus and had no money." And she said, "I sold myself as a slave for the rest of my life for one silver dollar just to have something to lay at Jesus' feet." What are you doing for him? He's not really that interested. I mean, I know it takes money to feed the preacher and cut the lights on, and lights come on and they go off. I know it takes off. But I'm telling you, I'm not really interested in the financial part of it. I'm interested in your heart, your soul, and your mind. Bethel Church, if I could implore you to do any one thing, it is to lay your life down for Jesus. It's a sacrifice. Oh, no. It's your reasonable service unto the Lord. The most important thing you'll ever do is get at the feet of Jesus and love him and stay there. You stand at your feet. I've got more, but the Holy Ghost just said, "You stop right now. Somebody come play the piano." We've had a great service, good singing, many in the altar already. But I wonder if there'd be anybody you'd be willing to step out and say, "You know what, Lord? Like Mary, I want to get on my face. I want to get at the feet of Jesus. Right now, I want to thank him for loving me. I want to thank him for saving me. I want to thank him for forgiving my sins. I want to thank him for answered prayer requests. I just want to thank him." Come on right now. Come on right now. The house of God, get at Jesus' feet. I'm challenging you. And to be honest with you, this whole church ought to be at Jesus' feet right now just to thank him for what he's done. Come on, folks are still moving. God bless you. I just want to get at his feet today. I just want to thank him. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. He's been better to me than I could ever deserve. Folks still coming. God bless y'all. Maybe you're home. I'm challenging you. Take the time, if you're able, to get out of that bed and get off that couch and out of that recliner. Get on your knees before Jesus, if you're able, and tell him you love him. Thank him for what he's done for you. I mean, what about this morning? Maybe you have a prayer request. He may not answer that prayer request till you thank him for what he's done. Father, this morning, we praise you, honor you, and glorify your sweet name. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in the house of God on this Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for passing by. And God, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for being the best friend I've ever had. Thank you for many blessings on earth, but thank you for a home in heaven. And thank you for the opportunity you're going to give me one more night of new season to bow at your feet personally and to praise you while the ages roll on for your love and for your sacrifice. Lord, I praise you this morning. Help us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo, glory to God.